Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast, your destination for all things lacrosse. I'm your host, Kyle Devitt. And this man right here, this man, what can I say about him? It's Jack Piattelli. You know who it is.
How are you?
Great.
Good.
Great.
We're rolling. You know, it's hard to believe that in a few weeks, the NCAA lacrosse tournament is going to take place. And the next week or so is going to really play huge dividends for a number of teams in Division One and Division Two and Division Three. So it's going to be interesting how it all ends up and who ends up in the tournament.
Where you think Cornell's getting in that the mix there?
I don't know. It depends on how they do in the Ivy League tournament.
Yeah. Do you think they're making the Ivy League tournament?
Yes, I do.
Locked. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good call. Let's bring in our guest, Loomis Chafee's Bill Ball. How we doing, man?
Hey guys, how are you?
Great. I think it's funny, like a lot of the content we do here at this point in the season, because the prep season, we're probably like a month in by the time this goes up, and it's halfway over, right? Like it's such a short season, and getting to know so many coaches and getting them in and getting them on the podcast is super important. And just happy to have you on here, Coach. Thanks for coming on.
No, I really appreciate you guys having me on. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think I already played two Founders League games. It's going quickly here.
Coach, I got to tell you, I know you played for Pete Lasagna at Bates, correct?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, and I played for Pete Lasagna when I played for the Boston Blazers, and one of my favorite people, great coach, great guy. Obviously, he's retired and doing some great things with club lacrosse in Maine. And then Jim Wilson, who started the program at Loomis 49 years ago, I had the opportunity to play against him when I was at Kent. And we became friendly after I left Kent, but you've got a great guy in Pete Lasagna involved in your life, and a gentleman who, talk about an ambassador of the game, Jim Wilson, and doesn't get any bigger than that.
Yeah, I mean, certainly I've been lucky to have some good coaching kind of like role models, and taking over at Loomis, connecting with Grim has been great. He still keeps in touch. He actually came down to our extra game last year. He's up in Vermont, and he'll always come and give our team some tidbits, and some of the stuff that he said to us last year, we kind of live by, and I think it helped us in the stretch run for sure. And Coach Lasagna, a huge role model in my life. What I loved about him is that lacrosse was important, but the other things in life were much more important. And I think that was really helpful for me in my growth.
At the Mass Youth Lacrosse Convention that I spoke at, Lasagna spoke at that as well. And one of the things he did was he stressed the importance of attacking early in offense the entire time. Like, so that's his whole talk. And I've watched his Bates teams play. Like, I covered them at their height, right? 2017, I was on the field. I was still covering a lot more college back then. And I talked to him afterwards, and he was saying that his work with the club team, I think it's Maniacs in Maine, he was saying a lot of it is teaching easy stuff, but also, why doesn't everyone go fast? And I'm just like, Coach, I don't think everyone can go fast. He's like, you can. You just got to find the ones that can go fast. They're like, he's just like, you got to find the ones that can go. He told this whole story about how he was setting up this team, and he was at a practice, and then he ended up having to coach the team in a tournament, and they kept subbing this LSM off. And he was like, why are you subbing this LSM off? He's the best player on the field. And they're like, oh, we subbed the LSM on the clear. He's like, not anymore. We don't. he set up a whole thing in like 5 minutes and had the LSM come back and the LSM run through five guys and score. And they won the tournament. He said they almost won the tournament just with that. And that adaptability, that like energy and the way to think outside of what the norm is, which is let's get it down. Let's move the ball. Let's look. Let's try to get this in there and let's do that. And what I notice is coaches that are disciples of his have that kind of maverick mindset as well. Do you think that would apply to you and Loomis this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're playing a little bit faster than we have in the past. Certainly the last 2 years I started here. And we talk about that, actually. I'd say, early offense is great for us. It was actually huge yesterday in our win over Hoschins. We had a lot of transition goals. And that's, you know, if you can do that, you watch Tufts play. And I have a lot of respect for Casey. Compete against him when I was in college, like it's hard to stop that, especially when you have kids that can handle the ball and see through defenses and throw skip passes and things like that. Like that's just very difficult to stop.
Yeah, especially at the level that you play at the Founders League, that's a difference maker, right? To be able to push the ball and get the advantage, whether it's 3-on-2, 4-on-3, that's really 6-on-6. It's pretty even all the way through.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. I think that the teams that are successful in our league they have to do a lot of things well, but certainly that transition play is hard, and that's why some of those teams that have been the top of our league, Salisbury, Brunswick, those teams, Deerfield. They're usually pretty good in that area of Taft.
I saw one of your wins this year was against Salisbury. I wasn't surprised you beat him, but it was the first time in 17 years that you beat Salisbury.
It was, yeah. Yeah, it was a big win for us. Obviously, Tom does an incredible job down there. And before him, Bobby Wynn, they've been a powerhouse for a long time. And going down there, just getting a win at Salisbury, we were pretty happy with that. And I told our guys after, like, we battled and we wanted it, I think, maybe a bit more on that day. But certainly, like, the transition stuff that our attack was able to do and certainly our defense getting it out of the zone helped us in that win.
You were ranked number 2 in the country in the country for high school teams. Was that a good thing or a bad thing? And how did you manage that?
Yeah, I mean, I think those ratings that IL had on there, I'm not sure if we were actually ranked 2, but I guess we were at that 2 spot. Yeah, those are hard to kind of live by. We don't talk about it much other than the opportunities, right? Like to go against Brunswick, who probably would be number 1 in the country after their win yesterday. So we talk about like competing in a high level. Really, like what we talk about day in and day out is just getting better. Like that's a big thing for us. Like, but it doesn't matter like what happened against Brunswick. Like last Saturday, we had a tough one. We wanted to get better on Monday when we hit the field, and we wanted to get ready for move on to the next one. So if you have a big win, move on. If you have a tough one, move on. And I think that's the best thing about our league. I mean, I think we play like 5 or 6 teams in the top 25 in the country every year. And right now we're one of them, which was kind of one of our goals going into the season.
So coach, with the loss to Brunswick, I wasn't surprised. Well, I shouldn't say that, but I thought it'd be a tighter game. Was it a close game to the end, or I believe they jumped out on you early, correct?
It was actually 4-3 at halves and 5-5 midway through the third. And a couple things happened and we didn't kind of respond well enough. We really struggled in the clear game that day. And that's something we've been talking about since then. We've actually been talking about that since early in the season. Right now, our faceoff guy's out. He's one of the best players in the country, we think. And so just getting possessions is a right. battle. And when you give it back to a team like Brunswick in the third for easy opportunities after you've played some good defense, that's not a recipe for success. So we were disappointed about that game, but watching the film afterwards, we felt better about it, to be honest with you. It was like, okay, we defended them offensively. We did some good things. How do we get better in these areas, 50-50 ground balls and clear game, which I think we improved upon that yesterday.
So how do you change your coaching style when you don't have your face-off guy? What's his name?
Joe Hobot.
That's right. Hobot. Yeah.
Mid to Hopkins, yeah, he's a great player, great leader for us, 2-year captain, actually. Yeah, it changes a lot, you know what I mean? In our league, it's really important to have a face-off guy. But what I'll say, like, we've kind of done it by committee right now, and some guys are really stepping up. Michael Lee is a primary D-middy for us. Gennaro Pompano, primary D-middy for us. He's doing a good job there. A couple of our pulls, Mike Brennan, Graham Wiggenhauser, and then Henry Merchantson, who's kind of, like, took some time this offseason to work on his face-off stuff and has had some good wins. And even against the Brunswick kid, who's arguably one of the best kids in the 25 class, like he had a couple wins, which was really awesome.
So you're trying to get your wing guys more involved in the play, yeah. The faceoffs, and maybe double the ball or what have you to create a turnover. Yeah, having some sex with that.
Yeah, and then trying to kind of like create mismatch if we can, pull on their faceoff guys, different things like that.
I mean, one of the reasons they were ranked so high before the season even started is, I mean, it's like you have 12 commits in your senior class minimum. You probably have more. I just know that we have 12 on our site, and I'm sure there's more kids going. And it's not just like, oh, it's 4 middies and maybe this guy. It's every position has a guy that's going to play at a high level. And I don't think that's uncommon for the Founders League. I think the level of these players you have guys that might be able to play the second they go to college. And I think that's kind of the differentiating factor a lot with Loomis and seeing how you guys play and the way that you attack things, I think is one of the things that people saw at the end of last year carry over into this year. And that's one of the things that gets them so highly ranked and gets them a lot of attention. And Coach, I know.
And the coach, of course.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course. And the coach. It's funny because like most coaches just don't want any of the credit. Like, and I understand that. And the other thing that I totally relate to you with is trying to win when your faceoff guy can't win. I have the opposite problem this year where like my faceoff guy is dominant, but like he doesn't know what to do when he wins. He just keeps winning and he's just running. And I'm like, give the ball to someone else, please. Please, that's all I'm screaming from the sideline. So like, it's weird to have like, oh, that's a nice problem to have. But playing without a guy that can win is much harder. You're going to try, I'm sure you've tried double pull. Have you triple pulled yet? That's fun.
Not yet, but we've double pulled a good amount. And yeah.
the Jerry Byrne double pull was because I ran the box when I coached with him. And it was like, oh my God, you get this wrong, you're done. Double pull is hard to do from the box. You have to read when that guy's coming off and when that guy is staying back and which guy's going and which SSDM you're going to trust to cover that attackman if we lose, right?
So yeah, a lot of pressure on that. Like, as Coach Katz, my assistant knows in that position, that box position.
Not the most fun, I will say.
Coach, how is it to manage? I mean, you've got a lot of great players that are going to Harvard, Hopkins, number of great schools. How do you manage their egos? Is that maybe they don't have egos? I think sometimes you have players who maybe are thinking about the next level when they have to still continue to play at this level. What are some of the things you do to keep everybody under wrap?
Yeah, that's actually a question I don't think about too often, but we do talk a lot about just like our culture and our program and how we treat each other and treat other people like on campus. That's really important. And being lacrosse players too, that's not all what it's about at Loomis, right? Like Loomis is an incredible academic institution, all kinds of other opportunities here. So we talk about like getting out there and getting involved on campus, not hanging as a lacrosse team, which is important. I do think like we're really blessed. Our quote unquote best players are unselfish, hardworking leaders, which has really helped us have what I think is one of the stronger cultures in New England. A kid like Nate Cobry is like one of the most unassuming kids, but certainly one of the best players in New England, if not the country, attack. Kids like him leading our team is really helpful. And what I love is how our older kids treat our younger kids. We've been lucky to bring in some good young kids over the last couple of years, and the older kids have really kind of brought them into the fold in an appropriate way and kind of like helping them understand our coach culture so that it hopefully kind of continues down the road. But the other piece of that is, yeah, certainly like you're going to have kids that are like high performing athletes and want to do great things at college level. Maybe they're looking beyond, like talking about the now, right? Getting better. Like, how do we prepare them to play at that high end institution? It's really important. And we feel like we've done a pretty good job of that. Stacconi, who's at Harvard right now, was starting for them before he got an injury. And I think a kid like that was really helpful into getting our program where it is right now.
I think one of the things too, like you see all these prep programs and they develop all these players at the college level. And I know like social media isn't real. It's my push lately that I've been pushing back on people that are like, I'm like, no, it's not real. Real is the game. We have to watch the game.
Yeah.
One of the things that you guys are great at is pushing the guys after they leave. Like, this guy had a great game. This attackman that played here 3 years ago had a great game for Colgate. Here, look. Like that, I think every program, if you have someone, if you can afford to have someone focusing on that for your social media, like that's actually almost more important than being like, here's what we did. Here's every single thing that happened in the game, because that's not always accurate. But pushing the culture of success forward after you play here, I think is a message that like everybody can kind of get on board with. I'm actually surprised more club teams don't do it, because I would think that's kind of one of the things. That's what you're doing to draw players in, right?
Friends for life.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. And Coach, what do you think about that kind of approach, right? Like, everyone says culture. It's just this buzzword everyone throws out. And I mean, what do you think makes your culture different from someone else's culture, for example?
Yeah, I mean, I think one, kind of like where we came from, right? Like, when I took over, we were a solid program, but I think we really had to work to get to the place we're at right now. So I think that, and we're lucky, like our senior class, a lot of them were with us my first year. Those guys know what it took in terms of like working and coming together as a team to get to the place we are right now. So I think they're still hungry, And I think they're humble. So I think that's really important. But for us, really, on the field stuff is about competing, but keeping, like, knowing that, like, we're all in this together, right? Like, so it's, you're competing really hard and you're competing for spots and you're getting after in practice. But after, like, your arms around the next guy, we're all in this together type thing. That's hard to do. I think college programs probably have a lot of difficulty working through that. We talk about that, like how you treat each other. We're going to call people out if they're not doing that in the way that we feel is appropriate. So I think that that is something that maybe sets us apart.
I think the advantage too at Loomis, I'd like to talk to you to talk a little bit about Loomis and in terms of the academic piece. And I know it's co-ed, but having the students, athletes there all the time living there is certainly an advantage for you because you get to know the players on a personal level. One of the coaches we had on said he only has his players 2 hours a day. You see your players, you might see them in the classroom, you see them on the field, you might see them participating in a play, whatever. But it's certainly a great advantage.
It really is. I think that, you're right. Like, you see them in the dining hall, you can pull them in for a meeting during their day, during a free block for them, or potentially like work with them in small groups, like in the off season and stuff like that. That stuff matters a lot. But I think that like seeing your players in different areas on campus and knowing like what the other pressures are is really important as a coach. You know what I mean? Like if they've got something big going on in an English class or something else is going on campus that is potentially affecting them, it gives you more information to coach them the way they need to be coached. You know what I mean? And my big thing in terms of coaching is like kind of like being adaptable. Like that's you need to do that. And I think that we're really lucky to have these kids living on campus. I think they are lucky as teammates to have each other on campus, right? Like whether it's to go to someone that they can connect with or just kind of hang out with them and go to the wall and do some wall ball or go out on the turf at night before study hall and run some 2v2s on their own, shoot out a goalie, shoot out an empty cage. Those are things that I think are hard to replicate in a typical high school setting that I went to.
And the facilities there are spectacular. I mean, they're better than a number of colleges. It's really...
We're very lucky.
Yeah, talk about the facilities a little bit.
No, we're very lucky. I mean, Loomis is an incredible place. I actually worked at Loomis about 10 years ago under Ted Garber, left to be a head coach in Maryland for about 9 years and was one of the few places I would have come back to be a head coach here in New England for. Just an incredible academic institution. Our campus is beautiful, right by two kind of rivers, but two turf fields. Two weight rooms on campus for our guys. And we're really, really lucky.
I just realized that you have a player on your team that I got to coach for a little bit in the winter. Milky Conway Reppert. One of my favorite kids to coach. Like, didn't have a ton of time with him, but he plays box as well. And I've never seen anyone take coaching immediately like he has. I gave him like a very specific instruction and he did it to like better than I told him to do it. So I just wanted to shout him out because I don't get to do that a lot where I get to see a lot of players that are on these prep rosters and have a chance to coach them. But he was doing a winter session that I was a part of. And he's just in a remarkable kid. Like, forget lacrosse player. Like, he's a remarkable human being.
Yeah. He's incredible, both on the field and off the field. Just one of those kids who, like you said, he started for us as a freshman last year, led our team in scoring as a freshman, which is pretty hard to do in the Founders League. And I would say a lot of that was due to his IQ, just kind of like understanding defenses, knowing when to do certain things, being unselfish with the ball, but knowing when it's time for him to take his. But also another kid on campus who, if you saw him walk around campus, he wouldn't necessarily, I mean, everybody on campus knows who he is now, but you wouldn't necessarily know he was a lacrosse player. He does all kinds of other things on campus.
Yeah, always has a smile.
Great. What I think is very impressive about your roster, Coach, you've got players from Mass, Connecticut, New York, California, Rhode Island, Washington, Maryland, New Jersey, and New Hampshire. Players from all over the country.
Yep. Good young defenseman from Georgia. Yeah, I mean, I think that is one of the things that a lot of families don't always understand of how fun it is to be at a boarding school campus with kids from all over the country, right? And even all over the world. And that's really one of the things we try to do on our roster is to become diverse in a lot of different areas. And it's really paid dividends. That's great. You've got Tackman from Utah. Like, it's really, it's a special thing to be able to kind of create and navigate.
Yeah, in the locker room, they're all rooting for different professional teams. They have their teams they root for. That's great.
They just learn so much about each other in different ways. You know what I mean? Like in different areas of the world, country. Like it's really, really important.
Yeah. I think one of the things that we look at when we look at prep programs is a lot of parents listening to this are probably like, well, what's the difference? Right? Like if I'm trying to get my kid into a prep school, what boarding school, especially, what's the difference between a Loomis or a Choate or a Deerfield or a Brunswick? Like what's the difference and how do I make that decision? How do I get my kid on their radar? How do I do that? What's your advice for a parent that's trying to find that for their kid who could be qualified to do that?
Yeah, good question. All kinds of ways, but I think certainly like reaching out to that coach at that school, certainly at Loomis, like expressing your interest, like giving them information about you, getting to know them. Like for me, it's really important to get to know the families that are coming, that are interested, seeing how they would kind of fit in with our program, right? Like that's really, really the major key. You know, certainly your ability to play lacrosse, your ability to do the work in the classroom and be a good community member is really, really important. But for as a lacrosse coach, like I'm obviously kind of evaluating that lacrosse ability as well. But just kind of like going into it with a sense of like who your child is and where they're going to be successful, right? Like what are the environments? Is it going to be a co-ed thing in terms of like academic rigor? You're like understanding like what your student can do in the classroom, lacrosse kind of acumen, like how competitive you are compared to your peers and what different level like would be the best for you to grow in. I think those are really important. I think one of the things about Loomis that's really incredible and brought me back to Loomis is our combination of high academics and high lacrosse, high athletics, right? Lacrosse specifically. But I think going to Bates and being lucky to play under Lasagna, like so a really strong academic school but with good athletics. That's something I kind of like want for my family, my kids down the road here. And I don't think there's a better place in New England than Loomis with those combinations.
So at the end of the year, you've got the Founders League Championship, correct?
Correct.
How long has that been in place? And the top four teams play in that championship? Now, does the number one seed host the number four and number two host the third seed? Is that how it works?
Correct. Yeah. Top four of our eight team subset of West One play in the Founders League playoff system. And I think 5 through 8 also play each other as well. But we hope top two seeds host and then the higher seed for the championship game hosts as well. And that is this. So last year was the second year of the Founders League tournament. We have a tournament now in most of our sports for Founders League now.
Yeah. I love that because it just, like the ISL, they started their championships as well. And like during the season, you might have a bad day and you lose to Trinity Pauling or you lose to Hotchkiss. But now you've got something to work for. You've got a goal to, you want to win. Your ultimate goal now is to win the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, and now you've got an opportunity to get into that tournament, the top four teams, and anything can happen in that tournament.
Exactly. My first year was the first year of the tournament. Our goal was to kind of get into that tournament. And it was a battle. I think it was actually a 3-way tie for that 4th seed. And we got it on a goals against. But yeah, it keeps you alive, keeps you working for something in terms of like postseason play, keeps your kids engaged. And it's great because our schools are competing in all these different sports. It's just like creates great kind of like campus support as well.
Do you still have the spoon game versus Kent in football?
We do. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I played in that game a long time ago, but
yeah, you're a Kent grad, right?
Yeah. I'm a Kent grad. I remember those days and we had some battles on the football field, on the hockey rink and lacrosse. Now, are players required to play a number of different sports at Loomis or an activity in all?
Everybody has to do kind of like an after school activity. There's some kind of like things around sports in terms of like 9th and 10th grader versus 11th and 12th graders. A lot of our guys play multiple sports. Like we have 16 guys on the football roster this fall, which is great. We have a number of hockey guys, a couple of basketball guys, some soccer guys as well, which is really great. And that's what one thing we advocate for. I played 2 sports in college. Like it's a huge thing for us that we want our guys to do that if they have that ability.
Coach, Jack kind of went through it with looking through your roster and seeing guys from different areas of the country, but I also see a lot of players from different club teams. So I think a lot of these prep schools have, there's like 5 kids from this prep program going to this prep school. And I see so much diversity in yours. Looking at our commit list, that must mean you have to have such an extensive relationship with all these club guys. how has that been building that relationship over the last couple of years? And have things changed a little? Because I feel like maybe this is just a Mass New England thing, but there's just a lot of competition between those teams for players.
In terms of the club competition for players?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly, like, the club scene is growing, you know, as is the, you know, prep scene as well. Yeah. I mean, I think, like, a big thing for our coaches in West One and all over, you know, founders, like, just kind of like communicating and connecting with all kinds of different clubs. I mean, for me, like, we want our kids to be able to play with whatever club they're comfortable with. And a lot of times they're able to do that. Like, if kids from Colorado, for instance, they can stay with Denver Elite or 3D Colorado. So if they feel like their families feel like that's the best move for them, we're going to support them on that. If they ask for our help, we'll try to help them. But I think that's a big thing. And like you said, just kind of like doing what's best for that family is important for us. And also, like, kind of taking into account that kid's growth and their recruiting ceiling and how they'll be helped for and advocated for. I mean, certainly we advocate a lot for our kids here that are capable of playing at certain places. We're going to reach out to those coaches and advocate for them.
So you left Loomis. You were gone for 5 years. Actually, you won the MIAA state championship, right, when you were there?
I was gone for Loomis for 9 years, though. Actually.
Oh, 9 years. Okay, yeah. So you were in Maryland for five. So in terms of the players, their profiles, and the whole recruiting, how much has that changed from when you were first at Loomis to where it's at now?
A lot. I think certainly the club scene has grown a lot since then. I mean, being lucky to be a coach in Maryland for a while, that was really important to my growth as a coach. I joke about it sometimes, like, I thought I knew lacrosse before I moved down to Maryland and then got a real education in it. I think that the prep league, especially like Western New England, though, has really grown. Like, I feel like West One is the best league in the country now. And that's spending a lot of time in Maryland. And so I think that's going back to your point about people from your kids and families from other areas of the country looking like lacrosse is exploding. And I think that families realize the beyond kind of lacrosse opportunities at a place like Loomis that can open doors for them. So they're starting to look at those things and look at and connect to those schools and coaches, which is great for the growth of the game. But yeah, I think it's changed a lot over the last decade. I think it's fun. I mean, I love, to me personally, the pace of the game is probably the biggest change, and playing with shot clocks and playing college rules. I was talking to someone the other day, yesterday, one of our parents, where they the horns on the sideline horns a long time ago. And we said, get your defenses set. I'm so glad that I'm not doing that anymore.
Oh, those horns when I was at Springfield College, they used to have a horn. Mm-hmm. The end line ball go out the end line, the horn. And we used to put a riding team on the field.
Yeah.
Three attackmen to give them some time and ride. It's crazy. I mean, the game is so much fun. Back to the club. So I personally think that because there's so much club available, and I think if you pick the right club, it's obviously a good thing for the kids to continue to develop and expose themselves to different kids and different coaches. But I think it's really opened the door for a lot of these players to take a look at prep schools because you guys are out there recruiting.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the club programs are growing and teaching these younger kids the right things. And I think that's really important. You know what I mean? You want to make sure that these young kids are getting taught how to play at a high level, and the best clubs are doing that. And so that's really helpful. Yeah, I mean, certainly you get some clubs that tend to push their kids more to prep schools for whatever reason. But a lot of times it's about the experience, right? Like, it's that those coaches know the benefits of a place like Loomis and some of these other incredible institutions. And so they're saying, hey, use lacrosse as an opportunity to open doors to you down the road that may not have been opened. And we talk about that a lot in terms of how you can use the game to grow yourself.
Yeah, if lacrosse gets you into a better institution than maybe you were capable of on your own, it's basically done its job. That's what I truly believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, please tell that to my face-off guy. I think your conversations are probably a little easier than mine about where players can play and where they want to play. I think it's a lot different at your level. When I was on Twitter the other day, and a coach for a D2 school in college in Florida, fairly new program, Flagler. Have you heard of it? So they're kind of like a newer program.
Yeah.
He tweeted, "Hey, we're in season and I have 135 emails from potential recruits. Just be patient. We'll get to you when we can get to you. Is that what your email box looks like right now?
At times a little bit. I'm certainly not like 135. I wouldn't say that. But yeah, we've been lucky to have some success over the last couple of years. And certainly like our applicant pool in terms of lacrosse players has grown, which has been great. Yeah, we're able to bring in, you know, incredible players like the ones we've been talking about.
Now, you're also in the admissions department, correct?
I do. I work in our admission office.
Yeah, so that's great for the players and for you, obviously. So you're behind the scenes. You can actually tell them where they need to be to get in their credential-wise, athletic,
it's important. Yeah, I mean, I think one of the good things that, like, Loomis does, like, with all of our coaches, is kind of give them kind of, like, the tools to kind of, like, evaluate, like, which type of kids will be successful here. So as we go out and talk to families, like, you're able to kind of try to assess that. But certainly, like, being behind the scenes is very helpful, like, for me. My background, like, I was a dean of students in Maryland for 9 years, so that was pretty different. But I've really loved kind of, like, seeing the other side of schools, like, as they come through the doors. It's a different process. It's been great for me, but then I get to coach a lot of them and get to interact with our students in different ways on campus, which is awesome.
Now, do you have, I know obviously Loomis is a co-ed boarding school, and was it starting seventh grade as well?
No, we're just ninth grade through
9th through 12th.
Yeah.
How does that affect your, I don't want to say recruiting process. I feel like I reserve that for college coaches, but I think it's fair with prep guys. Like, how does that impact you looking for, you're basically scouting eighth graders for a lot of your summer, right? Like, how, what's your process for that? When I used to work at another place and they asked me to evaluate an eighth grader, I said no, because I didn't feel comfortable doing it for whatever reason. I just didn't feel okay with it. How, and part of it was I didn't know how to do it because it's so hard to see what that kid's going to be. This could be the summer he grows. It could be the summer between his freshman and sophomore year. It could be the summer between his sophomore and junior. You don't know. So What do you look for and what's your process like? Do you have like a plus minus system? Like, how do you pick out guys that you're like, I would like to coach him?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if I have an exact kind of like intricate system that like college coaches would have, but what we do a couple of things, like you said, like talk to obviously club coaches out there, like people that are out there to give us kind of like good referrals. And the biggest thing that I look for really is, you know, how that kid, like if I'm watching them in a game or some type of like showcase, or they do have some of those now, like how that kid competes, right? Like that's really important for us. Certainly the skills and, you know, abilities, your athleticism, quickness, things like that are things that we're going to evaluate, but how they compete, because we talk about that a lot. And we put a lot of time to the guys at Loomis and feel like we can get kids better. But that mentality is really important. So certainly you're going to get, if a kid's 6'2", is an eighth grader coming down and able to kind of like pull it from deep, like that kid's going to be someone that you're going to be real excited about. But really, like, what is that kid's mentality? How are they going to be on campus and in our team? And what's their approach to getting better about? Like, that's really important for us.
Yeah, and that's not an easy thing for a kid to make the transition from eighth grade and go to a boarding school, right? Especially coming from Utah or California. That's a huge adjustment, homesick, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Do you find that some of the parents in some cases, like in a lot of cases with sports, they want their kids to go to boarding school more than the kid actually does? And you obviously want the kid that wants to come versus the parent want them to go.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely get both sides of that. You certainly want that kid who is 100% on board. We'll talk about that. Like if a kid isn't 100% in, I'm going to tell them, hey, now's not the right time. And I think that's my approach. I don't know if that's everybody's approach, but I think that to do this and be successful here, you need to be 100% all in. And our guys are. And that's what's given us kind of a leg up, I think, recently and helped us improve.
One of the trends that I've observed, just because I have friends that coach in the prep ranks, is yes, there are still eighth graders coming in for ninth grade, right? But there's actually been kind of an increase post-COVID of kids coming in for their junior year, or even in some cases, their senior year, and everyone talks about reclass. I'm not trying to talk about that, but kids that are coming in after they have 2 years of public school or 1 year of public school, is that something you've experienced at Loomis or no?
Yeah, certainly we have a few kids that have done that in all different levels, like 9th grade. Our schools, most of our schools have entry points in ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, and that post-grad year. So you're certainly evaluating. I think that's one of the differences between evaluating kids at prep versus college. You're evaluating all kinds of different kids versus like
one grad year.
Right.
Yeah. And I was going to ask, in terms of post-grad, is it a school thing or is it a league thing, lacrosse? You're only allowed so many post-grads per year?
Yeah, good question. Our school typically, Loomis typically enrolls around 20 post-grads a year, both female, male, whomever. And there's no kind of like the set rule on Founders League, West One, lacrosse, PG number. We don't have that set. I mean, we've had in my year, we have three right now. We had three last year. My first year, I think we had five my first year. So it just depends on what kind of like the pool looks like, the needs of the school, kind of like in other areas, some things of that, and what these kids are going to bring to campus, like outside of lacrosse.
Who is more difficult to coach? A ninth grader coming in or a PG?
Excellent question.
Well, good question. I'm going to go on like a, kind of like not answer it. I think it's really the mentality of that kid, right? Like if that, we've been lucky, like our PGs have been incredible, like leaders for us and have helped us get our program to a better place. But if a kid comes in kind of like thinking they are something that maybe they're not and not willing to put that work in, whether that's PG or ninth grade, then that kid is a little bit more difficult to work with. And you've got to kind of set expectations, work with them throughout the school year and certainly in season to kind of like get them in this place where they can see kind of like the growth that they need to make and go from there. You know what I mean? I think going back to your point, Kyle, like maybe a PG might be more stuck ingrained in them. So maybe that if they come in with that mindset, that might be a little bit harder to get them out of that than a ninth grader. But I do think that that mindset is something that, you know, us as coaches at the prep school, especially in our league, we have to work through because I think that our league is different than most leagues.
Founders League, all levels, hockey, lacrosse, women's basketball, soccer, competition is intense. Mm-hmm. And I lived it, I saw it, and it's more intense now. Why Loomis? What's the differential between Loomis and the rest of the schools?
Yeah. I mean, I think too, like a couple of things that we touched on academics, right? Like I think like especially our academic program and how much we've grown over the last decade. Like we offer 260 different courses at Loomis. Like compare that to a normal school. That's pretty incredible. Some of the classes our kids can take, like astrophysics, like behavioral economics, like different things like that, that most high schools don't offer. That's something that I think is incredible. The culture at Loomis in terms of like how people treat each other here on campus, like being co-ed, our guys go out and support. Like whenever we can, we go out and watch the girls game, right? And how athletics are important here, right? I think in some places, like really strong academic schools, like athletics can take a backseat, and certainly academics are at the top most priority at Loomis, but we care about our athletic programs being good and support them. And our kids are really strong student athletes. Like if you see kind of the places where our kids are going, they are very strong student athletes. And that's just a great environment to be in. Like when you're around kids that are motivated and talented, it's going to push you to get better. And I think that's what we talk a lot about when we're talking to prospective families, like how their child's going to grow at Loomis. Like it's a place where I want my kids to, I've got a 5 and 9 year old, like that's why I came back to Loomis.
Fantastic. Now, how many students at Loomis?
About 735.
So it's a good size school.
And it's about 50-50 male, female.
Let's talk about the schedule. Cause I, obviously the Founders League is hard, but you have a run that include, you have Avon, Deerfield, Phillips Exeter, Westminster, Phillips Andover, Wilson, Northampton, and then you close, heck of a close here, Taft and Choate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to prep for each one of those games almost like a college coach does with your guys, right? And get them ready with film, get them ready mentally and skill-wise. But how is that? I mean, obviously your time in Maryland definitely prepared you for that because that's kind of what the MIA is too, to a certain degree, right? But how do you balance that with everything else that you have to do and with all the athletes on campus?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the challenges of being a high school coach, right? Like these kids are teenagers. They're not in college. It's kind of not like their job yet. So understanding that lacrosse is really important to them, but it's not like their whole life, right? And so, but also like getting after in practice, right? You know, I think When we talk to families about coming to Loomis, like you come certainly for, if it's lacrosse specific, it's for our schedule, right? Like that schedule is awesome. So like when you lose a game against Brunswick, right, you're going to pick one up right away, a big game against Hotchkiss, right? And you're going to play another big game against Berkshire and then so on and so forth. So you always have an opportunity to have a big day. And I think that that's, we talk about getting better or worse every day. Like you, the things that you do are going to allow you to grow, or you're taking a step back, like in all phases of your life. And so that's how we kind of approach it, I think. And, but yeah, it's a lot, right? And, but I think it does prepare kids to compete at high Division I levels, high NESCAC lacrosse. Like that, those coaches know the rigor of a schedule that these kids have been put through and the competition level. And so I think that they want kids from our league.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. If you don't show up one day, you're going to be in trouble. And the other thing, you've also got great coaches. You're coaching against guys who know their game and well-respected like yourself in the industry. So I that's got to be a lot of fun too for you.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, to go coach against Chip Davis, who's a legend at Deerfield, like that's an incredible opportunity.
Not a bad thing beating him either.
You can say yes. It's okay. Yeah. No, we love having prep coaches on. I think a lot of the audience for NELJ in terms of the website is a lot of prep parents, obviously, and trying to cover stuff. Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
To all prep coaches listening, where are your stats? Where are your scores? Can you just send them to me? Because I will use them.
And I love that.
I will give your program. Or content, I will help you for no money. Like, give me your scores and your stats. We were talking about every time I come into the office to tape, I'm always like, oh, how is this score wrong? Like, I looked at it three different times. Like, I cross-referenced it with Twitter, and then I went to Lax Numbers, and then I went to, like, the one weakness of that you have all these amazing athletes, amazing programs, is having the actual data.
Yeah.
And I would love to help however I can. So.
No, that's great. And it's actually something that like our coaches association has been throwing around, like trying to create a website, like compiling stats and things like that, league standings. So I think it's a really important point you bring up, Kyle, but I'm happy to share with you our stats anytime.
You could hire Kyle to put it all together.
I'm not an admin. Kyle is not an admin. No. I'm a writer and I like lacrosse. Like I hate being an admin. It's the worst. Being an editor is the worst. Being a writer is awesome. Being a coach is awesome. Being an admin is brutal. But coach, hey, we want to thank you for coming on. Again, share with me whatever you want. I'm very happy to talk with you at any point, but I'm sure I was very happy listening to the things you had to say about Loomis and your program and Founders League.
Craig, great job, coach. Very nice.
I can't thank you guys enough for having me on. I appreciate it. I appreciate the support, and hopefully it's helpful for some families.
Yeah, look forward to the playoffs. So maybe we can go together and check it out.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
That'd be great. Come down anytime. Just send me a note. That'd be great. That'd be great. We'd host you.
All right. Great, coach. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
And thanks again for listening to New England Cross Journals, Chasing the Goal podcast. Jack Piattelli, I'm Kyle Devitt. We'll see you next time.